I want to talk to you on the topic, the resurrection of the, I'm sorry, the revival of the righteous. We talked about it before. This is part two of the same topic. Now I'm moving from Abraham to Moses. I have a couple more thoughts on the topic, and maybe over the next little bit of time we can discuss further these ideas. But again, remember we spoke the last time and we reminded ourselves that the idea of revival is not simply a conversation about the winning of the lost. And it's not simply a conversation about how those who are backslidden come back to Christ. But even those who are walking with the Lord and who are serving the Lord, there are times when we need to be revived, times when we need to be refreshed. And today I want to talk to you about how there are times when we feel discouraged or we feel disappointed. We feel like for some reason or another, we have not either lived up to what we expected, or maybe people around us have not lived up to what we expected, or maybe we somehow feel as though God has not lived up to what we expected. Now, that's a little bit of a hard thought, but sometimes it happens. Remember, we're fallen creatures, and sometimes we misinterpret God's promises. We misinterpret his plans. You remember, so many times in the Holy Scriptures, people would recognize that there was a discrepancy to what they thought God would do and what God actually did. We see that on the Emmaus Road. We see that with John the Baptist in the prison, saying, if you're the one who should come, so on and so forth. We see it with Jeremiah crying out to the Lord, you deceived me, you deceived me. Over and over again, we see it throughout the Holy Scriptures. We hear David write, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we hear Jesus cry that out at Gethsemane. It's a part of going through this life, whether you and I are at the pinnacle of our situation or whether we are in the deepest valley. There is always going to be those times when we become a little bit concerned, a little bit confused by what's happening in our lives, especially with regard to what we expected God to do and what we expected of ourselves and what we expected of our community. Now, when you and I consider the life of Moses, one of the things that we have to recognize is his entire life was based upon the fact that God spoke to him, that God was his friend. In fact, the Bible makes a distinction with regard to the life of Moses by saying that even though at times he speaks to certain prophets in visions and in dreams, he said, with my servant Moses, it is not that way. When I speak to Moses, he said, I speak to him face to face, the way a man speaks to his friend. And what we want to do is try to figure out, how do you reconcile the idea that God speaks to Moses face to face, the way a man speaks to his friend, and at the same time, the Lord is still mysterious, even to Moses. The Lord says to Moses at a certain point, you cannot see my face. And so we have to figure this out. It's the same as you and me saying, Lord, you called me by name. You called me your friend. Jesus said to us, I no longer merely call you servants. I call you my friends, and you know what I'm doing. And at the same time, there are times when the Lord's ways are mysterious. The Bible still says that the Lord dwells in an unapproachable light. The Bible still says that the Lord's ways are higher than ours and his thoughts higher than ours. And so on the one side, we see God face to face and he's our friend. And on the other side, he dwells in an inapproachable light and we can't comprehend his ways. And how do we reconcile this reality when we come to a place of difficulty and a place of hardship? Where we're saying, God, you told me I was your friend, and you told me I know what you're doing, and you told me I can see you face to face, that I am your friend, and we have this kind of relationship. And at the same time, I'm at this place in my life where I feel like I can't see your face. I feel like I can't hear your voice. I feel like I have absolutely no idea of what you're doing. And sometimes when we come to that point, we get discouraged. We become disappointed, And we even feel as though what God has called us to and the promises that he made in our lives are no longer valid. We wonder whether or not God still has any use for my life. I came to a place where I really began to consider, Lord, if I'm your friend, why are you so distant? And this is what you see happening in the case of Moses. Do you remember the situation? Moses just had, if you will, a face-to-face with God in the mountaintop. He just heard the voice of the Lord. He saw God take the finger of God, if you will, and etch out the way of the Lord on the tablets of stone. And as he's coming down from that mountain, after being with the Lord for 40 days, he enters into what you and I might call a real life situation. He comes down from this glorious place where he is having a face-to-face with God, and the friendship of the Lord is clear to him, and God's presence is clear to him, and God's direction is clear to him, and God's zeal for his house is clear to him. All of the call of God is made apparent to him, and now he's coming down from that mountain, and he's coming down into a very difficult situation. The Bible says that at that time that Moses came down, there was a golden calf that the people had made, and they were taking on the attributes of the communities around them, and they began to live as the gods of the Moabites, which were no gods, but only demons and molded animals, and they might be the way to go. So they molded their own animal. They did their own thing. Moses came down into it, and the Bible says in his frustration, in his disappointment, he took the two tablets of stone, and he dashed them to the ground. It's a picture of a person who just came from a place where he is having a face-to-face with God. He knows that God has called him. He knows that God is going to deliver the people just like he said he would and bring them into the promised land. But the moment, the frustration of the moment, the confusion of the moment, overwhelmed him. And he took God's law and literally broke the law, dashed it to pieces. In essence, it would be as serious as you and I, after having been with God, after having heard him, after having known that he called us, after having gone so far in the ministry, after having seen signs and wonders and miracles, the way Moses saw the 10 signs in Egypt, and having watched God open the Red Sea and all these wonderful things, it would be the same as you or me taking God's word. It would be the same as we deciding that it just doesn't work under these circumstances. It would be the same as us having the truth and saying, yeah, it worked this far, but not here, not now. God's promises, they worked up to this point, but now this is something different. And Moses, at a certain stage, begins to cry out to the Lord. Even though he took his word and dashed it to the ground, he still had a cry in his heart. This is a person who at one point, when he first heard that the Lord was calling him, according to the writer in, according to Stephen in the book of Acts, when he first heard, he went gung-ho into it. And of course, remember he takes, you know, the Egyptian and he kills him because the Egyptian is abusing one of the Israelites. Tries to do it in his own strength, realizes that he can't. 40 years later, he hears the voice of the Lord calling him again and saying to him, I have seen the affliction of my people. He heard the voice of God. Remember, he starts in his own strength, realizes he can't do it in his own strength, and then he hears the voice of the Lord, the covenant God, saying, I have seen your weaknesses. I've seen your inabilities. I've seen the oppression of those who oppress you. I've seen The affliction of those who afflict you. I've seen the fact that you can't free yourself, that you can't deliver yourself, that you can't help yourself, that you can't heal yourself. I've seen all of that, and I've come down to help you. I've come down to free you. I've come down to bring you to a point of victory, and I am going to do it through your life. I'm going to do it to you, and I'm going to do that thing through you. So all of a sudden, this Moses now is at another point of significant crisis. And he realizes that he was never intended to do it in his own strength. But he also recognizes that when he was in a place of understanding that, God came and gave him what he needed to help his people. And God came to him when he had no strength. He was weak. And he knew it. Now he's at a place where he has to say, Lord, you came to me at first, and I thought I could do it in my own strength. Then you came to me when I realized that I couldn't, and you told me that even in my weakness, you are not only going to help me, but you're going to help other people through me. But now I'm at a place where I've followed you for a certain amount of time, and I've seen your hand do some wonderful things, and I've watched many people be blessed as a result of your goodness. But then I came to a place of disappointment, came to a place of discouragement, came to a place where I began to wonder, Lord, if you're my friend, where are you? Like Rebecca in the days of old, if everything is all right, why am I like this? And there comes a time when you and I, along with Moses, have got to recognize this thing that God has called us to is hard. It's difficult. And sometimes it's going to be confusing. So the question is, what does God do to revive the righteous? What does God do to bring back the joy and the strength and the peace of those who have served him for a certain amount of time? Some have served him for many, many, many years and have come to a place where they've been disappointed. They've been discouraged. The hearts have been broken. How does God bring that person back? In Moses' case, we see a man who begins to even question whether or not God is still with him. After he reacts to his disappointment in a way that even he thinks disqualifies himself, he begins to wonder if God is even with him. He begins to say things like, Lord, if you don't go with us, we are not moving from this place. He begins to say, Lord, you can't just leave us here. What's going to happen to your reputation? What's going to happen to your great name when people begin to say the Lord brought them out of one place but was not able to bring them into another? He begins to say things like, Lord, if I've found grace in your sight, then show me your glory. You remember, Lord, that glory that I saw when you came to me in a burning bush and you said things to me that I need to hear again. And you showed me things that I need to see again. You told me that you were with the weak and you were with the feeble and you were with the helpless. You were with those people who can't free themselves, who can't deliver themselves. You told me that you were going to use me. Even when I told you that I had absolutely nothing to offer, you told me that you would override my weaknesses, my frailties, my inability to do this or my inability. You told me that you were going to use me. Lord, I need to see your glory again. I need to be reminded of the nature of this relationship, that it's not about my strength. It's not about my power. It's not about my faithfulness. But you came to me and you said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you told me what you were going to do. You told me that you were going to help me. You were going to use me. But then the Lord also said to him, Moses, Moses, do not approach this place. He said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He made Moses to understand this is holy ground. This is a holy place. So at the same time that he's saying to him, Moses, you're my friend. And Moses, I know you by name. And Moses, I'm going to use you. Moses, I'm going to help you. He's also saying, Moses, don't forget that I reserve the right to be honored, to be awed, to be respected, to be trusted. Don't forget that I reserve the right to tell you some things and not tell you other things. Don't forget that even though you see me face to face, I dwell in a light that cannot be approached. So Moses cries out, show me your glory. And maybe, just maybe, there's a possibility that Moses forgot that one part where God reserves the right to be mysterious. God reserves the right to say, look, I'm going to tell you some things, but there are certain things that you cannot comprehend, certain things that you don't know, certain things that are not for you. Very similar to when the disciples heard that Jesus, when he comes, when Messiah comes, he's going to do this thing and that thing and the other thing. And then it turns out that it looked a lot different than they expected. And so they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom after the resurrection? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the days and the times and the seasons. That's reserved to the Father. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So on the one side, he's saying these things are beyond you. On the other side, he says God, who's beyond you, is going to be within you. So now Moses needs to be reminded that the same God who knows him face to face is able to also say, no one will see my face and live. In other words, we are going to be intimate friends, but you will always bow down before me. We are going to rejoice with each other. God is always going to be our friend, but we will always acknowledge his majesty, always acknowledge his sovereignty, always acknowledge his dignity, always bow before him forever, forever. Now, consider what the Lord says to Moses in your Bibles in the book of Exodus and the 33rd chapter, Exodus 33, beginning in verse 21. How the Lord goes about reviving someone who has been confused by the way of the Lord. How he brings him back to this place where he can go on from where he is. Because I think in this moment, Moses again is trying to figure out reasons why he can't do what God had called him to do. If you're not going to go with us, don't take us up from this place. If I have found grace in your eyes, let me see your glory. In other words, let me get back to that place over here. Whereas the Lord is saying to Moses, I'm going to take you over here. I'm going to take you farther out. I'm going to do things in your life just like I said I would. And this is no time to go backward, and it's no time to stand still. This is, you understand, the Lord had said that to Moses before. When the children of Israel were reluctant to go forward, and Moses told the people, stand still and see the glory of God. And God brought a word of correction to Moses and said, don't tell the people to stand still. Tell them to go forward. And there comes a time when the Lord will say to us, when we come to that bump in the road, we come to that veering in the road, and we're trying to figure out which way to go, or should we just stand where we are, or maybe it's more safe to go backwards. And God says to us, no, you're going to go forward. You're not going to go back to what it was like when you were younger, where you first met the Lord. You know, sometimes when we go through a time of disappointment, we say things like, man, I wish it was like it used to be. I wish I had the joy that I had when I was a kid and all that stuff. God said, no, 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 you're not a kid anymore. I'm going to give you a different kind of joy. I'm going to give you a different kind of peace. I'm going to give you a different kind of hope. It's not going to be based on naivety. Remember Jeremiah's cry, Lord, I was young, I was naive, you deceived me, you didn't tell me that it was going to be like this. But now it's time to move on, you see. So the Lord speaks to Moses in Exodus 33, verse 21, and going down from there, Exodus 33, 21, beginning to read, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but not my face. My face shall not be seen. Again, this is the same Moses of whom the Lord says, I know him. I speak to him face to face, the way a man speaks to his friend. And yet this face-to-face revelation is also based on two things. One, the acknowledgement of the holiness of God, so that whatever he shows us, we receive it as right and just and good. And whatever he holds back, we say, amen, Lord, it's your prerogative. You show me what you want to show me, and you hold back what you want to hold back. But whatever you show me, I'm going to bow down before. And the fact that you hold back, I'm going to bow down before that as well. And then the second thing that we have to concern ourselves with is that the revelation is face to face. That means God reveals himself voluntarily according to his own will, and we reveal ourselves to God voluntarily according to our own will. This is why the Lord, who knows everything, is able to say things like, Adam, where are you? Or is able to say things to other people as in, I never knew you, the God who knows all things. Or is able to say to Abraham at a certain point, now I know that Abraham is in awe of me. I know that Abraham feels. This is the God who knows everything, and yet the God who wants to befriend us. That means he wants us to volunteer information. He wants us to trust him. Face-to-face revelation, that's what friendship is. And Moses needed, first and foremost, to present himself to the Lord. Present himself even though he was confused, even though he was disappointed, even though he had just taken God's word and dashed it to the ground. Even though he wasn't sure how God was going to receive him. Even though he wasn't sure whether or not God was still going to walk with him. Even though he didn't understand where he stood, his requirement was still to stand before the Lord. There are going to be times when you and I don't understand how God is doing what he's doing. And sometimes we don't even understand where we stand anymore. And yet God says, if you don't know anything else, know that you can stand before the Lord. That you can present yourself to him. Not some facade, right? Not some religious figure, right? But yourself. So the Lord says, rise up. And at another point, he says, rise up early in the morning. Early in the morning, meaning don't hover over your failure too long. Don't hover over your sense of discouragement or disappointment too long. Don't hover over your confusion too long. Don't let it sit too long. Don't get to a point where you feel like the more you hold on to it, the more humble that makes you. No, the more you lay it down before the Lord, the more humble that makes you. When God says, get up early in the morning and present yourself to me there. In fact, you know, if you don't mind, just go with me to the next chapter. Moses speaks to the Lord in the very beginning, or the Lord speaks to Moses in the very beginning of chapter 34. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. So the Lord says to Moses, bright and early in the morning, don't hold on to this. Don't harbor that. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed with your failure, with your confusion. Don't let it fester. Don't let it get to you. He said, early in the morning, stand before me. Literally, he says, stand with me. He said, I know your confusion. I know the difficulty. I know the hardship, but I am not ashamed of your process. I'm not ashamed of your struggles. I want to stand with you. The Bible says, with regard to our Lord Jesus, that he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So he says, look, I know it's confusing sometimes. I know it's difficult sometimes, but you are not alone. I refuse to allow you to fester in your weakness. I refuse to allow you to allow that to become a part of your personality, a part of your DNA, or a part of our relationship. He says, I choose to stand by you. So reveal yourself to me, because that's what friends do. And then stand by me, because that's what friends do. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to give you a firm foundation upon which to stand. I'm going to cover you with my own hand. You see, that's what friends do. And the thing about this covering that God provides for us is it also allows him to uncover us. Once we know that we're safe, once we know that we're covered, then he can begin to work on little things in our lives. And he can begin to say, bring up the two tablets, you know, the ones that you broke. And I'm going to write on them again, because that's the way the Lord is. He says, you remember that promise that you discarded because you thought that somehow you blew it, or somehow the world doesn't allow for it to be fulfilled, or somehow maybe God forgot you. He said, remember that promise that you discarded? He said, bring it back to me. Bring it back to me. I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to underline it. I'm going to remind you that God hasn't forgotten, that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And please don't forget that the law of God is also the promise of God, because that law basically says that the Lord is doing a thing in you. God is not going to ask you to do a thing if he's not doing it in you. He's not going to say, don't do this thing if he's not making us able to do what's right. So that law is a promise. But there's more to it than that, of course, because the Lord told Moses that that law would be perpetuated so it wouldn't just work in him, but it would also be perpetuated out so that they would be a missionary community. They would be used of the Lord to help many, many people. So he says to him, stand before me. He says to him, rise up early in the morning. He says to him, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to make my glory to pass by you. Now, Moses had seen one aspect or one element of God's glory. He had seen him in the burning bush. He had seen him through all the signs and wonders in Egypt. He had seen him open the Red Sea, had seen them feed God's people when there was no food to be found. And now he needed to see, what does the Lord do with people who get tired? People who have seen all of these wonderful things and yet they get tired. Or they get disappointed. Or they get hurt. Or they recognize that they can't possibly do this in their own strength. How does he deal with that person who takes a promise and discards it? Who takes God's word and allows pain and hardship to make them think that maybe God can't do it, not in my life? What does God do in that case? And then we see the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to cause my glory to pass before you. And the Lord could have passed before him and said, the Lord holy and just, and so on and so forth. And he would have been justified in doing that. But here he already acknowledges it by telling Moses, bring the tablets up because I'm going to write what I wrote again. And he acknowledges it by saying to Moses, you can't see my face. And he acknowledges it by saying, no one should come up this mountain. So the Lord's holiness was never, never out of view. But when he passed by him and began to proclaim his name, he began to talk about the Lord is good and the Lord is true and the Lord is merciful and the Lord is compassionate and the Lord keeps covenant with any person who chooses to trust him. And again, the holiness kind of peeks through again where he says, the Lord doesn't acquit anyone, but he pardons anyone who will come to him. In other words, the Lord doesn't find anybody in and of themselves not guilty, but he pardons anyone who comes to him and acknowledges, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I've made some mistakes. Lord, I've gotten lost along the way sometimes. And I'm talking about a revival of the righteous. So I'm not, in this particular instance, talking about someone coming to Jesus for the first time. But someone who is in Jesus, but who needs to hear God say, I never acquitted you on your own merit to begin with. I never said to you that your own merit was enough. I never said that to you. I told you that I love you. And I told you that I forgive you. And I told you that I would help you. Please don't think that I did not foresee, as Pastor David was saying earlier, please don't think that I did not foresee that there would be times when you would run and you would scatter. I knew that too. This is what the Lord says to all of us. But he says, don't hide from me. You're my friend. And even though the Lord dwells in a light that you and I could never approach, he still causes his light to shine upon us. He still allows us to be his friends. He still says, look, don't harbor that thing. Don't let it sink down into your personality. Don't let yourself feel as though because you had a time of difficulty that God can't use you anymore. He said, but right now, bright and early, present yourself to me. He said, you don't have to present to me what you think I think you ought to be. Present yourself to me in honesty, in humility. And just say, Lord, I'm sorry. But I got a little bit tired. I got a little disappointed. Somebody let me down. Somebody hurt me. I let somebody else down. I hurt somebody else. I made some mistakes. They made some mistakes. But I'm not going to give up on the promise that you made to me. I'm not going to give up on the idea that I can live a good and godly life in your presence and that I can perpetuate the same in this society. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to present myself to you bright and early. I'm going to acknowledge that I am on firm foundation, that I am covered by the hand of God, and I am hidden in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. 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 And when your glory passes before me and you begin to say that the Lord engages in covenant faithfulness for thousands of generations, when you begin to tell me that you are abiding in goodness and in truth, when you begin to tell me, in essence, that you love me, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to say things like, you remember Moses, I'm not this enough and I'm not that enough and I don't have this right and I don't have that right. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, Lord, it's not about me. Because that's what the Lord said to Moses. Remember, Moses said, you know, I don't speak well enough and I don't. And the Lord said, well, who made your mouth? Right? You know what I mean? Because ultimately, it still comes back to God. So I say to the Lord, and you say to the Lord, yeah, there are times when we hit a bump in the road and we get a little discouraged. We get a little disappointed. We say, Lord, you know, I've given it everything that I have, and I just found, you know, like the writing on the wall, right? You know, weighed in the balance and found wanting. There are certain things that I just can't go beyond a certain thing. And the Lord said, I'm not surprised by that. It's ultimately about coming to me, presenting yourself before me. No religious facade. That's not for us. And this is it, Lord. What you see is what you get. This is all that there is. But then allowing him to rewrite certain things on our heart. Let me rewrite this thing on your heart again. Let me remind you, I haven't forgotten. I haven't given up on you. You and I might be overwhelmed by certain things, but God is not overwhelmed. Now, I want to pray with you this morning. And my prayer is very simple. There are people in this room who have been disappointed. Your heart's been broken. Sometimes you disappoint yourself. Or sometimes you realize I've disappointed someone else. Sometimes the disappointment might be in ministry. Maybe you've seen some things that you don't want to see, or you experienced some things you don't want to experience, or you even shocked yourself with your attitude or with words that you've spoken. Sometimes it's on the job, where you know God has made a promise of prosperity that he's going to take care of you. I'm not talking about that TV type prosperity, but that he's going to take care of you. And you didn't get the job, you didn't get the raise, you didn't get the promotion. Sometimes it's in relationships. This person that you thought was the one, and it turns out that they weren't. And you took a promise that God had given you, and you discarded it, thinking, I messed up too much. I, you know what I mean? God wants you to bring that back to him so he can rewrite it. And he can remind you and remind me, I haven't forgotten you. The promises that I made in your life, I'm going to fulfill them. The law that I've written in your heart, you are going to walk according to them. The glory that you know, you're going to know even greater, even greater, even greater, even greater. The glory at Sinai was awesome, the first thing that Moses had seen. But this thing, this passing before him, that was awesome. Moses was standing on this side of the new covenant. He was standing in the old covenant, and it was as though the clouds opened up for a few seconds, and he could look into the promised land, the real promised land. He could look into new covenant glory, and he could see how God deals with failure. And he could say, wow, wow. And then later on the Mount of Transfiguration, of course, he's looking right into the face of Christ. You and I, we have the privilege of looking into the face of that one who dwells in unapproachable glory. And yet, somehow he's chosen to make us his friends. And we can look at him and we can volunteer ourselves to him and say, Lord, look at me. You know I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to hide from you. You know I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to lie to you. You know I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to play. This is who I am. And if you want to be my friend, then my goodness, that's all I could ever hope for. If you want to pray this morning, whether you are here in the sanctuary or you're online with us or you're in North Jersey. I got a couple of friends in North Jersey who the Lord has been ministering to and he's been helping to heal. I hope this message adds to that one that I spoke a couple of weeks ago. You want to pray? You want to believe God to rewrite in your heart what he wrote way back then? Then we'll pray together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please, would you stand with me? Main floor, balcony. If God is speaking to you, begin to come to the front of this auditorium. If you're saying, Lord, I'm going to present myself to you. You know me, my frailty, my fault, you know me. But I'm going to present myself before you because I need you to rewrite something in my heart. I just need you to reiterate, to refresh, to revive those things that you made me to believe, those things that you made me to hope for, even if you're going to do it a little bit differently than I expected. If you're at home, just bow your heart, bow your knee before the great God. If you are in the annex, please walk between the screens. And if you are in North Jersey, the ushers will tell you what to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to sing a song or two in his presence, and then we're going to pray together. Sometimes we just need God to remind us of who we are. This world is a difficult place. It's easy to forget. Sometimes we just need God to say, I called you, and I know you by your name. Remember what he said to Moses, you have found grace in my sight. I know you by your name, and I'm going to show you my glory. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we know that you rejoice over us with singing. We know that the devil is a liar when he suggests that somehow our God is ashamed of us. Somehow our God is disappointed with us. Lord, there are times when we are disappointed with you, not because you have anything in you that should cause us to be disappointed, but sometimes we misinterpret your promises, and sometimes we apply our own system of understanding to what you're trying to help us to grasp. And you knew that when you called us. You knew that we would have to work through some things. You knew that we were going to have to learn some things. And you knew we'd have to go through some floods and some fires and some refining. You knew that too. So we know that you're not shocked and you're not ashamed when we have our times of despondency and disappointment and discouragement. We know. So we come to you and we simply say, Lord Jesus, show us your glory. Remind us of who you are. Remind us that we can show you who we are, that we don't have to hide from you. We know you know everything, but you want us to trust you, to befriend you, to stand before you and present ourselves to you. And we can do that knowing that we're standing on the rock, that we're hidden in the cleft of that great Jesus. We are covered by the hand, by the mercy, by the sacrifice, by the merit, by the cross of our glorious Savior. We know that, so we don't have to hide from you, because we know that we're loved. We know that we're covered. Lord, I pray that you simply rewrite certain promises on our hearts. Some promises that we've discarded. Lord, sometimes it's personal issues. Sometimes it's people that we've been praying for and God asking that you would help them. Lord, like Moses, he comes down to the mount from the mountain and he sees, Lord, that it sometimes seems worse than it was when he went up. Lord, there are times when we pray for loved ones. We pray for our spouses or we pray for our children or we pray for our family. And Lord, sometimes it just seems like it gets even worse. We're asking you to rewrite the promise that you would help them, that you would heal them, that you would save them. Rewrite that promise on our hearts. Lord, if we've discarded these promises for a moment, rewrite them on our heart. Lord, we know that you're our friend, that you speak to us directly. Like you said to the disciples, you don't simply speak to us in parables anymore because we're not simply servants anymore. You speak to us clearly because we are your friends. And that's what you said about Moses, Lord, that you don't speak to him in visions and dreams. You speak to him face to face the way a man speaks to his friend. Lord, you made promises to us, clear promises. They're not cryptic. They're not mysterious. They're clear. But your ways, oh Jesus, are sometimes far above us. And your thoughts are always far above us. And Lord, where there's that friction between that face-to-face relationship and the fact that you dwell in an unapproachable light, just cause us to humble ourselves before you and to simply say, Lord, show me your glory. I just need you to rewrite what's been written. If I've been disappointed and I've discarded a dream, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Just like your glory passed before and said the Lord is good and gracious and merciful and compassionate and keeping that covenant faithfulness for thousands upon thousands of generations, Lord, we humble ourselves. We say, forgive me if I've allowed disappointment or discouragement to cause me to relinquish a promise, cause me to lay it down in any way. And would you rewrite it? Rewrite it, oh Jesus, so that we can begin to believe again and pray again and hope again, even for the most difficult of circumstances, and that we can get up and move forward again, Lord. If there's anything in us that says, man, I wish it was like it used to be, remind us that we ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. And I ask you to lay your hand upon each one. Rewrite in every heart the promises of God. Remind all of us that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're not going to make you a bunch of promises. We're simply going to appropriate all of the promises that you made in Christ Jesus to us. And we're going to say, Lord, you promised that you would help. You promised you would heal. You promised you would encourage. You promised you would strengthen. And Lord God, we grasp those promises with the hands of faith, and we know that you are exactly who you say you are. We are exactly who you say we are, and you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do. Lord Jesus, we come against every lie of Satan, and we preach, oh Jesus, to one another the faithfulness of God. We remind each other that God is faithful. Touch every heart here. Cause your name to be lifted up and glorified. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.